The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. In every age, every time period of the church's history, and we have a long history as Catholics, 2,000 years, every church faces unique problems and challenges. And what do you think is the church's one of the main challenges we face in this particular time period? For God has chosen all of us to exist. Have you ever thought about it, why you exist, by the way, in this particular time period, at all the different epochs that the Lord could have chosen, where you could have been born, why this particular country, why a particular family, why a particular age? You ever wonder why? It's just fascinating. It's not random, by the way. And so what do you think today is one of our greatest challenges facing us as the church? Secularization. Secularization. It's a fancy long word simply meaning secular. This is one of the greatest unique challenges that we face. Basically what it is we are currently in an age which believes that we do not need God to be happy. First time in 2,000 years of history, this is the current trend, especially here in the West, that we face as a church. The belief, again, that we simply do not need God in our lives. Again, this is simply the current culture trend that we just swim in. Europe, by the way, is a few decades ahead of this secularization trend. Again, if you just look at the demographics of the numbers who practice their Christian faith, you see a downward trend. And the United States is simply following that trend, just a couple decades behind Europe. I bring this up because right now, our Holy Father, Pope Leo, is in Spain, beginning a week-long apostolic visit. So the Pope goes to different countries every couple months or so to speak to the flock, to visit. So this morning, they had a Eucharistic procession in the heart of Madrid. Guess how many Catholics showed up for a Eucharistic procession in the heart of that capital city? 1.2 million Catholics flooded that street. It was a stunning, if you can look it up right now, and just look it up, Madrid, Pope Leo, and you'll just see in that square this morning, 1.2 million Catholics, all kneeling in adoration as our Holy Father walked through that city of Madrid. It was stunning. I was watching a CNN news reporter just marveling at the vast crowds, and he commented, again, here's a guy, not religious at all, interviewing, you know, as interviews, as reporters go to interview people on the street, hey, what are you doing here, what's this, that? And he said, the vast majority of this crowd are young people, just marveling at this sea of Catholics. And what surprised them, again, because Spain, since the Spanish Civil War of 1936, there's been a rapid secularization of a once stout-hearted Catholic culture. To this day, if you go to Spain, people who hate the Catholic Church, by the way, will take Spanish sacred words for the Eucharist, for the chalice, and they'll use it as curse words. Again, deep is this anti-clericalism there. And so this is simply one of the great challenges we face. Again, it stunned them. And it gave us great hope that the Holy Spirit is always active in whatever challenges the church faces. Today, we celebrate one of the most beautiful and unique teachings of Catholicism. Is that at every single altar, at every single Mass, Jesus is truly present. That it's not merely symbolic. Hence the importance, right, of that beautiful reading today from St. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth. He said, beautifully, again, speaking of this beautiful teaching, tell them, hey, you guys, take it reverently. What are you doing? Why is he speaking to this as he reads? He says, mend your ways, encourage one another, live in peace. He says, this cup that we bless, this is not a participation in the blood of Christ, the bread that we break, not a participation in the body of Christ. Again, what he was speaking about here is saying, remember what and who you receive. How can we understand the Eucharist? Because when you just look at it, it's just a piece of bread, you know, and just a cup of wine. Nothing spectacular about it visually or from our perspective or from a worldly view. This is nothing amazing. How can we penetrate the depths of this? Love. Love. Love is the most important aspect of our existence. Love. Notice this about being in love. All of you who have ever been in love, you know this well. What does love, by its very nature, desire? Love desires to be with the beloved, doesn't it? You want to be with the people that we're in love with. Now, we believe that God is love. So if his highest nature is love, as John reveals to us, that God is love, and that the greatest act of love ever created, ever seen by humanity, is our Lord on the cross, who gave himself completely out of love. Again, now, watch this. Look at the Eucharist through that lens of love. Why is it fitting that he give himself in the Eucharist, truly present? Why? Well, because again, what does the Lord say? Whoever eats my flesh and drink my blood remains in me and I in him. Is that not love? We've all seen, remember when you were young, young love is always the most passionate. What do young lovers always want to do? They always want to just be with each other and hang out. They just want to spend time together. And you see sometimes young love, so I had to kick two high schoolers off our benches here because they were madly in love on the benches out front near the garden, near the fountain. And they were just staring at each other all disgusting-like, as lovers do. And they were doing things that they shouldn't have been doing. And I say, hey, get out of here. I would kind of just laugh because they were just cuddling on our benches here. But the kids were running around our frame formation, so I didn't want them there. But they were cuddling, looking at each other, googly-eyed, as lovers do. Because they're in love. And they wanted to remain with each other until the mean pastor of St. Mary's kicked them off our property. But then also this. What is the saddest day of our lives? It is when a loved one passes. Isn't that true? When our loved ones die, our parents, our siblings, or one of the most horrific events of life, especially as parents, when your children pass. Why are those moments so hard? Because you love them. And we want to be, by very definition, if we're in love, to be with our loved ones forever. Look what the Lord says. My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats this bread and feeds on me will have eternal life. What is Jesus doing? He wants us to have life, eternal life. And not just settle for the goods of the world. This is in direct reference to that first reading today from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, Moses, in the first reading today, Moses is telling the Israelite people, the reason why the book of Deuteronomy and Moses is linked with the readings today is because Jesus here, who gives of himself in the Holy Eucharist, is making a direct parallel to the events of Exodus, when the Jewish people were in the desert and they're making their way through the desert all the way to the Promised Land for 40 long years. Well, Moses here, with all that in the background, this is what he says in that reading. He says, remember now for 40 years how the Lord your God directed all of your journeying to the desert to test you. And you were afflicted with hunger, and then he fed you with manna. Manna, simply bread. Bread that came down from heaven. Jesus is pointing to this event, saying, just as God in the Old Testament with the Jewish people rained down manna from heaven to sustain them on their journey, so will I now. This bread of manna from Moses was but a prefigurement, a sign of the fulfillment that I will bring. Because as he said here, the bread that they ate in Moses' time, they still died. And he was telling them, look higher now. On June 12th, about less than a week or so, history will be made on the stock market. SpaceX will be offering their IPO, their initial public offering. It will become a publicly traded company. And SpaceX will break the records. It will be the most valued company in human history. It is going to be valued at $1.7 trillion. Trillion with the T, which is why we're having a second collection today, so we can buy shares of SpaceX. All right, so be generous, the second collection today. $135 per share. If you can get enough shares, we'll won't have to worry about money anymore here. And Elon Musk will be the first person in human history to be a trillionaire. Wow. Let me ask you. When Elon Musk on June 12th will become a trillionaire, do you think he will be happier? According to the world, according to the secularized world, what is the answer? Yes. He's going to be amazing. He's going to have that title of being a trillionaire. He's going to buy whatever he wants. He'll be a mayor. Everyone's going to look at him like, oh, Elon Musk, he's the best. Musk did a podcast interview not too long ago. It was a famous podcast interview. I forget the name of the show. It escapes my mind right now. But the podcaster interview asked Elon, how are you doing? And by the tone, you can tell it wasn't simply like, you know how when we see each other, hey, how you doing, Father? How you doing? It was a deep question. How are you doing? And Elon Musk said, I'm doing okay. And he's thinking, okay, we're all doing okay. You're a billionaire. You should be amazing right now. And he said this, I'll never forget it. You can look it up again on YouTube, you'll still find it. People think they want to be me. They don't. Because I go to bed alone. And you can see the way in his tone and the expression of his face. Elon was utterly lonely. And he even said it, the reason why he started SpaceX, the Boring Company, Tesla, Starlink, and all the companies he started, he says it's not so I can be amazing, but he genuinely wants to help humanity, according to him. And he understands, he says, yeah, he'll be a trillionaire, but he knows he will still go to bed alone at night. And this gaping hole will still exist. Love, $1 trillion cannot buy. More. The human heart desires more. Which is why, my friends, so many people have been converting to Catholicism. We've had a steady stream, a constant stream of converts from different Protestant denominations here in town. It's been absolutely stunning just after Mass today, after the 10 a.m. Mass. I was standing out front as I normally do, greeting families. And this family came forward to introduce themselves and said, Father, we've been coming to Mass now for the past few months, and we're ready. We're ready. You see, they've been searching for something more, because as beautiful as our Protestant denomination brothers and sisters do, because they love Jesus Christ, absolutely, but they realize there's something deeper, that Christianity is simply more than ideas. But they want true, thirsting for union with their beloved Jesus, whom they desire with all of their heart and mind. But they can't get it at their particular church. And so they're drawn here. It was so fun, they even said, as they came here, said, Father, we even saw another family from our old Protestant church here, and we saw each other and said, what are you doing here at St. Mary's? What are you doing here at St. Mary's? And I said, we're becoming Catholic. You too? And they've been coming. And they said, Father, we want to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. We've had a steady stream. Next Sunday, we're receiving 3 individuals at the 10 a.m. Mass. They're going to make the profession of faith right here. Again, it's in part of the steady stream coming in to St. Mary's. Why? Love, my friends. As we celebrate the Eucharist, look at it through that lens. Then you will begin to see why. Nothing in this world can satisfy you. Not $1 trillion. not a trophy, not a title. Forget it. We're created for more. And no amount of secularization could quench the human heart. And that is why 1.2 million Spaniards is in the heart of Madrid, worshiping Jesus Christ in the Eucharist.